Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Sean Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, I am discussing Black towns that was destroyed by white people. I have to thank Amber Ruffin. I saw her video clip that has gone viral. In her video clip, she introduced viewers to historically Black towns that have been destroyed and buried by a lake or natural park. This was the first time that I had heard about drowned towns. And also, there is a long history of white people destroying Black communities. Racial violence in America has been widespread and unchecked until this very day. Now, the first town that I want to mention is Oscarville, Georgia. Lake Lanier is a popular weekend destination known for fishing, boating, and so much more, including an eerie reputation that has deemed it as haunted in Georgia. This lake sits on top of the Black town Oscarville. Oscarville was burnt down in 1912, and more than 1,000 residents were forced to flee following the allegation of rape. Rob Edwards was arrested in September 1912 along with Ernest Knox and Oscar Daniel, both teenagers, all accused of raping and murdering a young white woman named May Crow. Edwards was dragged out of jail, beaten with a crowbar, and then lynched from a telephone pole. Daniel and Knox went to trial and both found guilty on the same day. The boys were sentenced to death by hanging. After the trials and execution, white men known as night riders forced Black families out of their homes, their land, churches, and schools. Once Black families fled, Lake Lanier was built on top of what was burned down. The second one I want to mention is it's in Benson, Alabama. The name of it, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but it's K-O-W-A-L-I-G-A. Alabama's Lake Martin is built on the previous majority Black town. It is the home of the first Black-owned railroad started by William E. Benson, and the K-O-W-A-L-I-G-I-A Academic and Industrial Institute. William was the son of John Benson, who was enslaved and then freed. He went on a journey to rescue his sister in Florida, who was separated during slavery, and they made their way back to Alabama. John purchased thousands of acres of land sold to Black families where he formed a community. William helped his dad expand the family business. After William's death and closing of the school, the town was destroyed to make room for Lake Martin. And the third one I want to mention is Seneca Village in New York City. Seneca Village began in 1825 and at its peak spanned from 82nd Street to 89th Street along what is now the western edge of Central Park in New York City. By 1840s, half of the Black people who lived there owned their own property at a rate of five times higher than the city's average, as reported in Timeline. And in 1857, Seneca Village was torn down for the construction of Central Park. And the only thing that remains is a commemorative plaque dedicated in 2001 to the Lost Village. And Susanna, Alabama is the fourth one I want to mention. It was also flooded by Lake Martin. According to Alabama Living, more than 900 bodies were moved from cemeteries before the land was submerged. The town once included a gold mine, a school, two mercantiles, a grist mill, a flour mill, a sawmill, a blacksmith shop, and a church. in Vanport, Oregon. In the 1940s, Vanport was the center of a booming shipyard industry because of World War II and quickly became the second largest city in the state. As World War II saw white males drafted to serve overseas, a labor shortage pulled a great migration of blacks from the South. With soldiers being drafted overseas to fight the war, Oregon saw a shortage. The new workers needed a place to live, as the Albina neighborhood was the only place where black people could live legally. It became too small for the growing population of black Americans, and Vanport was built as a temporary housing solution. At its peak, 40,000 residents, or 40%, were black people. But then in 1948, massive flooding erupted in the neighborhood, and city officials didn't warn residents of the dangerously high water levels, and many didn't evacuate in time. The town was wiped out in a day, with 18,500 families were displaced, and more than a third were black families. Today, that area is known as Delta Park. Also, I want to mention, from 1870 to 1940s, in Wyandotte, Michigan, African Americans were expelled from Wyandotte on multiple occasions. And April 13, 1873, in Pollock, Louisiana, the small black population of Pollock left the town after the massacre of more than 100 blacks in nearby Coal Flats. In November the 1st, 1878, Selina, Tennessee, Selina's black population left on November 1st, 1878, after being the subject to a series of violent actions over the course of several months. And in 1886, Comanche County, Texas, white residents expelled blacks from Comanche County because of alleged crimes committed by black men. And from 1888 to 1909, Perigo, Arkansas, a number of race riots occurred in Perigo between 1888 and 1809, resulting in most of the town's 150 black residents leaving. There were incidents in 1892 in Lexington, Oklahoma, 1893 in Blackwell, Oklahoma. On June 20th, 1894, in Monette, Missouri, Monette's black population was expelled after the lynching of a black man who killed a white man during the fight. The Monette expulsion was the first of a number of violent expulsions in southwestern Missouri between 1894 and 1906. And in 1896, in Linton, Indiana, 300 black strikebreakers were expelled from the coal mining town of Linton after one of the strikebreakers shot a white boy. Eventually, blacks were banned from living in all of Greene County. August 27, 1897, there was an incident in Elwood, Indiana. And also on April 10, 1899, in Pana, Illinois, gun battle between striking white miners and strikebreaker black miners resulted in the deaths of 5 blacks and 2 whites, as well as the expulsion of Pana's black population. On September 17, 1899, in Carterville, Illinois, a violent shootout occurred between striking white miners and non-union black miners who were brought into Carterville as strikebreakers. 5 black miners were killed. All the surviving black miners left Carterville shortly after the riot. On February 20, 1901, in Mena, Arkansas, most of Mena's black population left the town after a black man named Peter Berryman was lynched for allegedly assaulting a white girl. August 18, 1901, in Pierce City, Missouri, 300 black residents were expelled after a white resident lynched 3 black men for allegedly killing a white woman. On June 1902, Decatur, Indiana, a mob of 50 men forced residents out of Decatur. April 1903 in Joplin, Missouri. White residents drove out Joplin's black residents following the lynching of a black transient for the murder of a white policeman. July 9, 1903, Sour Lake, Texas, a mob of 500 white men opened fire on blacks and chased them out of Sour Lake after a brakeman was shot dead by a black man. October 1905 and January 1909 in Harrison, Arkansas, race riots in 1909 and 1905 resulted in the expulsion of Harrison's black residents. August 24, 1906, there was also another incident in Cotter, Arkansas. In 1908, Marshall County, Kentucky, whites led by a local doctor drove out blacks from the now extinct town of Birmingham and most of the rest of Marshall County. In November 1909, Anna and Jonesboro, Illinois, whites expelled Anna and Jonesboro's 40 black families after the lynching of William Froggy James in nearby Cairo. September 1912, Forsyth County, Georgia. 98% of Forsyth County's 1,000 black residents were expelled after two alleged attacks on white women allegedly committed by black men. July 1917, East St. Louis, Illinois. Riots or East St. Louis massacres of late May and July 1st to the 3rd, 1917, where an outbreak of labor and race related violence by whites that caused the death of 40 to 250 black people and about 400,000, or today's numbers, 8 million in U.S. dollars in property damage. An estimated 6,000 black people were left homeless. Fall 1919 in Corbin, Kentucky, 200 black workers were forced to Corbin during a labor dispute. November 2nd and 3rd, 1920, Ocoee, Florida, black community was burned to the ground and nearly all of its 500 residents killed or expelled by whites after black men killed two whites in self-defense. At least 56 blacks were killed during the massacre. May 31st, 1921, Tulsa, Oklahoma, as many as 300 black people were killed and 10,000 left homeless after whites attacked and destroyed the Greenwood District of Tulsa, known as Black Wall Street. On January 1923, Rosewood, Florida, whites attacked and completely burned down the black Levy County town of Rosewood after a black man allegedly raped a white woman. At least 8 people and perhaps as many as 150 people were killed. In 1923, in Blankford, Indiana, the Ku Klux Klan led expulsions. January 3, 1924, Manhattan Beach, California. The Manhattan Beach City Council passed ordinances 263, claiming eminent domain for a public park in order to take properties owned by black residents and eliminate the African-American resort, Bruce's Beach. In 1954, in Vienna, Illinois, white residents burned down all the black homes of Vienna and nearby areas outside city limits. The expulsion was sparked by the murder of an elderly white woman and the attempted rape of her teenage granddaughter by two black men. So if you have any questions or comments, dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. Now, out of all these incidences about black towns being destroyed, black people being run out of their towns, their homes, and white people taking over their properties, their land, anything that they had left that they had to leave immediately. And white people are still doing it today, trying to find ways to destroy black economic wealth and for black people to prosper. So what do you think about these incidents? Because I know, like, there's a few of them that I mentioned are in the area where I live, like the incidents in Cairo and Anna and Jonesboro and in Carterville, Illinois. Those places are close to me. So does anyone have a question or comment about anything that I've been talking about? And also, how do you feel about what I just mentioned and read? Because number one, I've never heard of drown towns. I've heard of sundown towns. But this is something recent that came to light for me. So have you all ever heard of any drown towns before? So, like I said, if you have any questions or comments. Okay, I got 5073. Do you have a question or comment?
Did you say brown town or ground town?
I said it's called drown towns, where they flooded towns that were black towns.
You said B, S, and boy.
No, B, D, drown. Drown, like somebody goes swimming and they drown.
Oh, drowned town.
Yeah,
oh, never heard of
drown towns. I had never heard of that before either. But yes, there are drowned towns. And I had mentioned five of them earlier.
Because I was looking at the map of the black massacres that they show in online. And there's been quite a few.
Right.
And, you know, one thing about it, only thing I got to say about it, why I haven't, you call yourself black people, call them all out on it right now. I thought murder is something that you can still bring people up on charges or whoever, some of so long ago, and why can't we get the land back? Are there still people trying to get it back?
You know what? I'm not sure, but that is something that needs to be looked into. Because those people left their properties and everything they owned under duress. And most of them left with the clothes they had on their backs because they didn't have time to gather up their things. They had to run and grab their children and get out of there.
Well, I don't know specifically about all the towns where they ran people out of their homes. But I only know of the history from my mom telling them how the Ku Klux Klan could come into their houses anytime they got ready where I lived. And I think I was just fortunate to be born in a different era because I wouldn't have put up with it even back then. I think I probably wouldn't even be here. I guess that's why I'm such a rebel right now against white people, because I know a lot about what they have done to black people that I just don't have any mercy for them.
Right, because they're not going to have mercy for you anyway. And not only that, why you mentioned like how the Ku Klux Klan, what they did and everything else, my grandma also told me that she's seen Ku Klux Klan members and knew who they were kill somebody. But she would never speak on it and say who it was, and she knew who it was. And when I asked her when she was still living, I said, is the person who did it still living? And she said, yes.
Did you ask her in the town that she lived in?
I did ask her where it occurred. And
what was her response?
She just said it was in Williamson County, but I do believe it has to be either in the town she lived in or in Herron.
Probably Herron. Both.
And she did mention that. But it's been a long history of white people driving black people out of their homes, stealing their properties, terrorizing them. And once they leave, they take it. They take it as theirs. They pass it on to their families. They build wealth, generations of wealth. And some of these black communities, the majority of black people owned their own homes. They were paid for in the most instances. Where their properties were burned down, flooded, they went in and just started killing people. You know, leaving legacies and having generational wealth to pass down to your children is very important. But it's hard to do if you don't have anything. I mean, black people built America. But it's those slave owners and their families who are benefiting from it. Our free labor. They gave them those positions that they have today. So when I was looking at it, because like I said, when I was reading about these places, and then when I saw Carterville, I mean, that's close to where I live. In Anna Jonesboro, that's not far either. Cairo, East St. Louis. I mean, most of those places you can be, Carterville, you can be there in 10 minutes.
Well,
from where I'm at now.
I don't know about the regaining land in Cairo, but I'm proud of the black people from Cairo, though, because they shut the town down. They might not have owned the land, but they decided among themselves that they would not, since they couldn't have the same rights as the white people that lived there, they refused to buy anything there. They had transportation there. They refused to ride it. They bought their groceries in other counties, and they closed Cairo down, and Cairo has never gotten back up on their feet like they used to be. It used to be a thriving town. Black people shut that down. See, if they couldn't have the same rights, run. And that was
right,
in
and they
like
still do that today.
That was in the 1960s.
They're still going to other towns buying their groceries and doing what they need to do. You go through Cairo, you can't even hardly find a restaurant. Maybe one or two.
You know what? I really blame a lot of, like, black people for some of the conditions that we're living under because they refuse to fight back. And if you don't fight back, you can't gain anything. And they accept a lot of things in Southern Illinois that really they don't have to accept, but they just go on because they're doing a little bit better than their parents did, that they don't want anything else. And a lot of it, I blame them for not asking for or demanding certain rights. They still afraid of. There was a black guy murdered in Marion and nobody really talks about it. And he was murdered by the Klan.
When was that?
I don't know, because I didn't know the people over there then, but
about
was,
how long ago was it?
Within the, what, probably when I was in my teens or early 20s or something like that. And you
so
know
it was
the
in the 50s or the 60s when that happened.
I'm not sure what year it was, but I know it. It was done to the, I think it was a Carter family. And then, you know,
the Carter family in Marion?
I think it was one
Okay, I did hear about a family member being murdered.
Right. That was one of the older lady's sons. And what
right.
about, and what about the, I hate to be name calling, but that's the only way I could do it. But what about the Allen young boy, around your age?
Stacy.
Yes.
Right.
Well, see, they do a lot of killing of black people around here, and nobody says anything. None whatsoever.
Right. I did hear about the Carter one. I didn't know about him originally, but some people brought it to my attention. And actually, that same guy that you're mentioning is related to some of your family members.
Yeah, you know, so my grandma's nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't hear about the murder. I didn't even know he existed within that family until, you know, somebody recently brought that to my attention.
Right. Yeah, I know who he is. I knew him. See, they do a lot of things around here, just like I questioned what I had heard about. Remember the woman that got murdered in her house, and it said her grandson did it, but some people say he didn't do it. Even my lawyer said, oh, yes, he did it. I said, it's not what I heard. Oh, yes, he really did it.
Right. I remember.
Yeah. But see, they push, they still doing the same thing. They put crime on who they want the crime to be on, just to close it. A case and have satisfaction for the public eye. Just like they murdered the lady where I own her land.
What lady?
Where my land is in Southern Illinois.
Oh, okay.
The one that owned the land that I bought. They murdered her. She was burned from her head to her toe, and they knew she was murdered. And when they found her, she had on a nightgown that had not been touched by fire. So you know, they had to change her clothes. And they had
an inquest. What year was that?
When was that? I was in grammar school.
So it was like the early 50s?
Yep.
Mm.
That's how we got the land. We bought it. Because I got the land when I was 14. And my father was on the panel of the inquest. And he was told not to make no comments. But everybody in that town knew that she was murdered. And I do believe she was murdered by white people.
Well, I don't put nothing past them at all. And I do know they have a history of wanting what black people have and putting them in areas. And if they think they're prospering or they're doing things well on their own, they like to destroy it. So they have a long legacy of destroying what black people do that is great, that is good. They're minding their own business, doing their own things, because when they destroyed a lot of these towns, a lot of black people had their own businesses. There were businesses, there were churches.
We used to have a theater. We had cleaners.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
I heard
they had all that.
They also called the area Cowboy Town.
And I caught they had a bar on every corner and some on the same side of the street. And I saw them as a child. They were there. Matter of fact, where I live, it was so booming that the people from the bigger towns that had more black residents came to our town for entertainment and everything else.
Yeah, I did know that the town was booming back in the day. And
we had a black sheriff.
I didn't know that. But
yeah,
I did see remnants when I was little of a
You saw the jailhouse,
jail.
Didn't you?
Yeah. That was busted open.
Well, we had a black sheriff, and his name was Mr. Beckett. I don't remember his first name, but I knew that was his last name.
I did see it, and I do know that the place was popular for, you know, going out, even though it's a small town. The town now has a population of 250 people.
I hate to say it, but it had a house of ill repute that's known all over the world. Well known all over the world.
Right. Everybody knows about Ma Hatchet.
If you ever say that where you're from, that's the first thing they ask you.
You know what? That's the first thing white men ask.
Mm-hmm.
They all know about it.
That's because they were her only clientele. She did have a reputation that she did not allow them to service black men. She only took money from white people. That was a good thing.
Well, I do know all, when I go places and I would say where I was originally from, it would be white men who would like, oh, do you know who Ma Hatchet was? So, yes, I did know that because all of them knew her.
Oh, yes.
So, you stay on, caller. Does anybody else have a question or comment or want to say something? Dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. And also, caller, if you are on air, did you know since Carterville, Illinois, that I mentioned that he had the violent shootout that occurred in September of 1899 is right next to the town that you're talking about. So did you know about that incident?
No, I did not. But that's the reason why we did not go to school in Carterville, because a black woman was killed. and they had that riot. I got that from my cousin. It's all in some documentation that he gave me, because he has a lot of history about Southern Illinois. But he told me that was the reason why we did not go to school in Carterville and went to Herron instead. And it was because somebody from Carterville, during that shootout, shot a black woman from Dumaine, Illinois.
Right, and Dumaine is connected to Carterville, and Carterville has annexed Dumaine now, and used to be an all-black town, and now it's white.
Yeah, and they and the black people, I don't know what happened. They owned all the land.
Oh.
That was an all-black town, because the first schools were in Dumaine instead of Culp. All the older residents went to school in Dumaine. Everything was in Dumaine.
So that same town where the cemetery where our family is buried is annexed by this place now.
It's annexed by Carterville?
Yes, it's part of Carterville now. It's no longer Dumaine. It's been that way for years.
Oh, they'll take the dead people. Won't take the, don't want the live people to live in Carterville.
They won't. They got what they wanted, the land, but it just happens to be a black cemetery there also. That's all. That's what they wanted, and that's what they were after.
And some of that land was owned by the Reeses. All where you see that school for, I'm not sure if it's mental retarded kids that work out of there.
Mm-hmm.
All that was owned by the Reeses, a black family. And they were some kin to all the Meekses. Matter of fact, his wife was one of the children.
Oh, okay.
And they own that land all over there, what they get now for that horseshoe saloon or whatever the name of that saloon
yeah.
was.
Right.
All that over there was where the Reeses used to live.
So what do you think the black people should do now to protect their properties and protect themselves from tricks that white people use, like eminent domain, to get people's properties? Number one, if they own a property, they need to keep their taxes paid, because that is one sure way they can come right in, pay it, and take your stuff.
Without their knowledge. Because
once it goes to taxes, at least in the state of Illinois, you have a certain time to get it back.
Right. And if you don't know, see, that's why a lot of black people need to go to that auction in October. Then got so how they got now, you can't even find out what's available unless you pay. I think it used to be $100 for the booklet. It's probably gone up.
I bought the book.
You bought the book?
It's not $100.
Well, that's what they quote when you call and find out.
I got the book for there and for East St. Louis, and they're both not that, not even for both of them.
Because one of my nephews was wanting to buy up some property, and they told him, you know, he had to buy the book to see the, what where the property was, and I think they told him $100.
It's not $100. I told you I paid for the book.
And too bad that realtor went. Is he crazy or dead?
Dead.
he's dead and the children own it, because he at least he would let you get some of that land. And for how you pay on it, he would let you pay on it and buy it. But I don't think they're doing that now.
I don't even know if that office is even still open now.
Well, they just don't know it's a gold mine in real estate. And
oh,
they're trying to buy our church property. They're definitely trying to buy our church property at the campsite. And see, the Northerners sold some of the land to them, too. And they're about to sell some more. I said, I should go over there and, as a member of the church. So why are you selling up the land? Well, we don't need it. We just need enough for a building. They'll end up with the building. They did give us enough to have a building built on what's left. And I said, I bet they want that pond.
Well, they probably do, but what your church fails to realize is they're just concerned with getting to heaven. They are not worried about how valuable that property is.
They know it's valuable. They offered $10,000 an acre. So if they wanted $10,000 an acre for it, you know it's worth more than that.
First, yes, that property is worth way more than that. $10,000 was a slap
now,
in the face.
Now they appraised it for even less.
Oh, they're just doing it because they want the land. Because all the land around it is worth way more, connected to it.
The guy that's living next door, because that's how he got next door to the campsite. They sold him some land, and he keeps our land up when he cuts his, he cuts ours, because he probably know he going to end up with all of it.
Well, of course, because your daughter told me all about it when I told him, he could say, go to court and claim your land. It's been done.
All for taking care of it?
In Carterville, the same town where the riot happened, there's a man who had his car parked on his neighbor's property. I just happen to know them. They're all white. And he claimed the property where he was parking his car on his neighbor's property as his. They went to court in Williamson County, and the judge gave the neighbor the man's property.
I would have killed
the neighbor. He didn't want. Yes. He has the property now. Didn't pay for it or anything. The man was just nice and was like, yeah, you can park your car right here. Because they had adjoining properties. They were neighbors. And now he has his property.
Goes back to slavery. You can't trust the white man. Not with anything.
Exactly. And black people should be buying a property, even if it's in so-called slum areas and things like that, because white people buy a property and they'll look over there and be like, oh, that is a slum area, but if we buy these houses real cheap, we can knock them all down and rebuild. Gentrification. They should be buying a block. Because you can't get more land once it's...
Why do you think families don't join together and do that?
I ain't going to lie. I would be hesitant to join any family members unless it was my children, for real. Them be the only ones I would trust. That's it. No other family members, no other deals, unless we is flipping or something like that. But far as buying and keep? No.
Well, sometimes that might be the only way to get up, buy up a lot of land. I'd rather fight with the black person than the white for it.
Well, you know what? People can always increase their incomes. There's things to do to make more money.
Well, it don't have to be land. It can be a business.
Well,
you know
it
what?
Could be.
You know what,
I mean, if you want to, but
you
no, I don't want to go in
doing.
Business with anybody.
What one of my nieces is doing in Detroit, they bought up houses. You know what they're doing? Like in different sections of Michigan, and some of them in the very nice section.
Well, you know what? I've been looking at Michigan.
They buying it up and renting it out to people who are visiting in the town and don't want to stay in a hotel. Not only that, they got land in Atlanta that they're doing the same. She bought houses in Atlanta for her children, and they own them. And they're just like in their early 20s. And they own that land, and they're renting those out as, you know, people going on to people going coming into town on vacation.
Like an Airbnb.
Yeah. They got
okay,
about six
yeah.
of
you
right
can
now.
Buy property now in Detroit. You can get a house for $2,500. You can buy a house for $5,000. You got some money to fix it up. They have property.
Yeah.
When I was there a month ago,
yesterday, they are doing Q's house like that. If they're renovating it just to rent it out because the city want it back because it's an old fire. It's the first or something like firehouse, and they thought they was going to get it, and they've been trying to buy it from him. He would never sell it to him. So Tamika got it. And that's what she's doing. And it's right on the lake.
Another house on the lake.
And she said she has another. She has more than one in the Michigan area. They're not in all in Detroit. They're in the suburbs, she told me. And she says she owns them in several other cities. And I said, oh, he really talked to
a lot of people.
She told me, she told him. She said the reason he had prospered, I told him what to do. I told him, you must be doing good, because she told me when she come to Chicago, she said, I don't go anywhere but Michigan Avenue to shop. I said, you got some money, because to shop on Michigan Avenue, you got to have some big bucks. So I'm looking forward to going shopping with her.
I'm sure you are. But, like I said, black people need to hold on to their properties, do what they have to do. And even if they wanted to sell, maybe they should find somebody black to sell it to.
They should.
At least offer
it. I have to do some research on these drowned towns. Who knows? It's probably relatives of mine that might have property somewhere. Because didn't you find out that Charity, they own some land in Kentucky? And Thomas Jefferson owned land in Mountain Ash, Kentucky, once upon a time.
I don't know if they own land there. Actually, I know they live there. I don't know if they own the land or not.
No, I didn't get that from you. Ronald told me they owned land there. They had owned land there. What happened to it? He said he didn't know. But they owned it.
I do know Mountain Ash didn't keep very good records before like a certain date, or so they said.
I don't know, but it's not that small of a town because they got a university there.
Right.
And it's so, and it's right there at Chattanooga.
Close. It's close to Chattanooga, yeah. About 40 miles away.
So what they will keep me out is it's in the mountains. And they're very steep. But I'd like to go there. Somebody else would drive me.
It's not that far from Dayton, Tennessee.
I know it. It's almost like Waukegan and North Chicago.
Actually closer.
Because they said it was just like across the street. One side is this and something, the other side's the other. That's how close they are.
It is. I think, you know, black people use their resources to build wealth, whatever it is, what they want to do. Entrepreneurship, buy real estate, whatever. But I think they need to have something to pass down for generational wealth.
But some of it, just like you, you don't trust nobody but your family, your kids.
Right, because if anything happened to me, that's the only person I want to have it, is my children. Just going to keep it real.
Then your kids might not keep it. They might sell it.
Well, it doesn't matter. I gave it to them. They do what they want to with it. I tell them what I prefer for them to do with it, but they have that option to do whatever they want to with it. Whatever they do with it, it's fine. My thing was handing it to them. Hopefully they would hand it to their children so they can give it to their children. But no, that's true. I would only want to do it with my kids. Because I don't want to be in a situation where you have a partner and something happens and you have to be split up. I don't want my kids to have to fight, spend money on lawyers when it can be just, here is yours. Because anything I did have, I would have everything up. My partner would not get it if it was not my children. Whatever I had goes to my kids.
Period.
That won't be easy, considering who their father is.
What?
It won't be that easy. But no, I don't. No, I mean, I don't have no problem with people being in business together. I think it's a great idea. If that's what you want. But I don't want to be partners with anybody.
See, you got a little white in you, huh?
Who?
You.
No.
Did you say no?
I did say no.
How could that be? If your grandmother, your great-grandmother was Caucasian and Indian. Get real. Just so you don't claim that part.
That's false information appearing real.
Oh, you're not like Michael Strahan, who found out that his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was white. And then they traced his Bessie on that side, and he's supposed to be related to one of the kings of England. I told him they could have kept that information to themselves because he already think he white.
I mean, people having white blood in them that are black is not a badge of honor. Usually has something to do with a slave owner raping one of their ancestors. So I don't know if anybody would be proud of that fact.
Mutual agreement, even though they couldn't get married, the grandmother had like about four kids with this man.
You know what? They're probably trying to make it sound, because they do that a lot, try to make it sound like something that it wasn't, like, oh, she wanted this man, she loved him. You know what? Most of them didn't have a choice.
Well, what's the guy's name that does those ancestry for black and white people? The black guy?
Henry Louis Gates?
Yeah, he did it. I say, spare me. Yep, that's it.
Well, you know what? That is a problem. Because, you know, of these black people who just want to be something else other than black. They thought they had a dot of white in them or something like that. But no, it's nothing to brag about. It's nothing to tell nobody about.
Oh, he was smiling. And I said, oh, I'm sorry I turned on.
And most of those men who were racist raped those women and didn't even claim those kids. Sell them off if they needed a dollar. They was nothing to them. Just like a cow out in the pasture. Oh, I need some money. I need to sell a cow. Same way they looked at those children that they sired. They didn't care nothing about them. They were nothing to them. Just chattel. So if anybody be proud of that, you know, something wrong with them.
He was. When he went off the air, he was really proud. And he, and the, whoever the guy's name is, said, I bet your great-great-great-grandpa would have been so proud to know that you are really somebody. I said, yeah, right.
No, he probably over there, probably in hell somewhere shocked.
But they did not find none of the relatives like some of them do that you can meet. He didn't get to meet any of the relatives that supposedly was on that side of family. They never brought that up. They finally
didn't want to meet.
They find, you know, sometimes they find them so you can see, oh, they got together. Now, the black woman, I forgot her name, that they did, they found a lot of, they found her relatives. And they had a big meeting for people in that area. Matter of fact, they were talking about she was related to the ones that talked about the Catholics. They came over to America. And it had something to do with Georgetown University, because they ended up naming one of the halls after one of her great-great-grandfathers. Because they said they had sold the slaves to build this place or something. And that's how
we have name. 10 seconds left. Thank you.
I didn't hear you.
10 seconds, 5 seconds left. Thank you for listening to the show, and have a wonderful evening.